أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Today we'll cover Surah Yusuf and inshallah Surah Ra'd and Surah Hud. Surah Ra'd and Surah Ibrahim. I don't know. I'm using my phone right now. So something you need to do beforehand. Okay. These surahs are also all Makki surahs for the most part, and they're short surahs. They're not really long surahs, but they have a lot of content in it. Surah Yusuf is one of the most incredible surahs of Quran. This is actually the only surah that talks only about one messenger in its entirety. The vast majority of the content in Surah Yusuf talks about Yusuf alayhi salam, and his name is mentioned in other places in Quran, but his story is all mentioned in one place, which is also rare. And the reason why we want to point out the things that are rare about this surah is because when something is rare, it has an element of it's got something special about it. Things that are rare metals, precious metals, are precious because they're rare. So, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to do something like this, where He talks about a prophet only in one place, He talks about the entirety of the surah is about that prophet only, then it's to show that this is something that is a really special occasion. It's a really special story. So when we're listening to it, we need to be paying extreme attention, even more attention than normal. Surah Yusuf starts also with Alif Lam Ra, just like we've been seeing the last few surahs. Surah Yunus, Surah Hud, all started with the same letters, Alif Lam Ra. The next surah starts with Alif Lam Mim Ra, Surah Ra'd. The one after that, Surah Ibrahim, also Alif Lam Ra. And finally, Surah Hijr, number 15, also starts with Alif Lam Ra. So in a sequence, we find surahs that all begin with Alif Lam Ra. In Taraweeh, when you're listening, you might notice that all the surahs begin at this time of the year, or this time of Ramadan, with Alif Lam Ra, Alif Lam Ra. So Surah Yusuf is in the middle of those surahs. Surah Yusuf begins with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Alif Lam Ra, tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. Alif Lam Ra, we don't know what that means, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what these letters truly mean. He says, tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. Those are the ayat of the clear book. Also, it means the book that clarifies. Mubin is clear, also clarifies. So the idea of the book is, we've seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe it as Al-Kitab Al-Hakim, the book that has the ability to give a ruling, authority, it has authority. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described it as Mubin, so it's got clarity. The point of the book is that after reading the book, we should have a sense of clarity about our lives. That's what the Quran's goal is. That we have clarity of purpose, we have clarity of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, where we're headed. All of that is clarified to us in this book. And he says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. There's absolutely no doubt we have revealed it being the Quran. Then he says, Qur'anan Arabiyyan, as an Arabic Qur'an. Now, Qur'an itself, now it's a name of a book. But linguistically, Qur'an is not a name. Qur'an is not a name. Qur'an was actually, it meant reading, or something that is read. It comes from the word qara'a, which means to read something. اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. Read in the name of your Lord who created. So the idea is Qur'an is supposed to be read. Comes from قَرَأَ. Qur'an, and this is a book that's been sent down. How is it sent down? It's not sent down in a book format. It's sent down as recitation. So that's why Qur'an. It's meant to be read, and when it was revealed, it was read by the Prophet ﷺ to the people. Also, Qur'an has another root, which is rare for a word to have two roots. which is qarana, which means to be close. Qareen is somebody who is very, very close. Wasa'a qareena. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes shaitan as an evil ally, an evil friend. Sa'a qareena. What a terrible friend he is. Somebody who is really close. So, Quran also could come from that origin, which means it's something that is supposed to be close to us. It's something that we keep close to our hearts. We, you know, keep it in our minds. The ayat are always, you know, flowing off our tongues. Not just reading without, just for the sake of reading. No, it's also a matter of when we're discussing something. You know what? This reminds me of this ayah, and you know, you quote that. You know, one of my friends, he does this a lot. You know, we're talking about whatever, talking about education, whatever we're talking about. This guy is always quoting ayah from Quran, just to point out a subtlety. This is the idea of the Quran, that it's meant to be, you know, close to us, close to our hearts, close to our tongues. Really, really beautiful description of the Quran. Quran and Arabian, it is an Arabic Quran, meaning it's not, the translation of it does not count as Quran, number one. And number two, the description of Arabic Quran has a real subtlety as well. The Arabs would say that something, يُرِيدُ أَن يُعْرِبَهُ فَيُعْجِبُهُ. This is part of a, like a poet said, يُرِيدُ أَن يُعْرِبَهُ فَيُعْجِمُهُ. This guy wants to be really clear and very concise with this language, فَيُعْجِمُهُ, but he ends up really elaborating and really going off on a tangent and just talking forever. They would say, they would describe when someone would be able to speak with a lot of clarity and a lot of conciseness, precision, they would say, أَعْرَبَ الْكَلَامِ. He has made his kalam, his speech, Arabic. The actual meaning of their understanding of the word Arabic was, you're able to convey your thoughts and ideas precisely and concisely. And the opposite of it, أعجم, right, is somebody who's not able to do that. So, in fact, the ancient Arabs, pre-Islamic Arabs, were actually a little racist. They would consider non-Arabs to be retards. That's what ajam means, literally. Subhanallah, because they were so proud of their language. They would think that these people know how to speak, they're ajam, we know how to speak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He calls the Qur'an, Qur'anan Arabiyan, of course that's not the meaning of the Qur'an, when the Qur'an uses that word, that's not at all what the Qur'an is talking about. But historic meaning, like pre-ancient Arabian meaning was that actually. And when the Qur'an is described as Arabi, of course it talks about the language, which is obvious, but also it is a very concise, clear speech. It gets the point across. It does not ramble on and on. People ramble on and on. The Quran does not ramble. It is very precise. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. This is done so that you can understand. You can have, you can think about what's been said. You can understand what is going on. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He introduces Surah Yusuf. He says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. Immediately, we are going to, I'm going to screen share here for the people online. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. We are going to relate to you the best stories. Sorry, the best of stories. بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. In what we have revealed to you of this Qur'an. وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Even though before this you didn't really know, you were unaware. Ghafil is somebody generally is used to describe somebody who is just doesn't have any clue what's going on. The Prophet ﷺ is not like that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as ghafil, doesn't mean that he was unaware of reality of life or unaware of. It's not used as a negative term. It's just you didn't know the story. You didn't know the story before we told you. That's what this word ghafil here means. Now, نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. قَصَّ الشَّيْءَ means to, this word is really important because we've studied some stories of Quran and we're studying one really beautiful story of Quran. قَصَّ is actually to follow someone's footsteps. فَرْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمَا قَصَصَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Musa alayhi salam and his servant following their footsteps, trying to go back to the place where they were supposed to meet, Khidr. And the way they were following their footsteps, he says, فَرْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمَا قصصا. You know, step by step, step by step, they're retracing themselves. The point is that the story, قصة, is a retracing of someone's steps. And particularly the protagonist in the story, their steps. And the Quranic story is supposed to be that we put ourselves in the place of the protagonist to try to learn and try to make that connection between what the protagonist is going through and between what we're going through. This is the point of the Quran story. That's why things that are not relevant, that distract a person maybe from following the story and from being able to apply it to themselves, are not generally mentioned. When did it happen? Where did it happen? Most of that detail is left out. And also, the story skips very fast, as we'll see in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, to get to the point. So, this is something that we should do as we're listening to a story in Quran. Try to figure out, put ourselves in the shoe of that person, the protagonist, and see how, you know, what we can feel, what we can learn from this. Now, the story begins, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. Remember, or mention, when Yusuf alayhi salam said to his father, "My father, I have seen 11 stars and the sun and the moon. I saw them making sajda to me." By the way, this story is one of the great stories of Quran. I had a friend who accepted Islam. I didn't give him da'wah. He was already Muslim when I met him. And this guy said to me, he was telling me, you know, how he was not a Muslim before, accepted Islam. He was mentioning how somebody had given his father a Quran, a translation of Quran, and that was lying around in their home. And he ended up just picking it up and he ended up reading Surah Yusuf. And as he was reading the translation of the story, it dawned upon him that this is not something that human beings, this is not the word of humans. Just the translation of it. Subhanallah. Right? The heart that's looking for the truth, it doesn't need much convincing. Right? It just needs a few things here and there, and then it jumps on it. It jumps on guidance. And we'll see that inshallah in Surah Ra'ad, this idea, and also in Surah Ibrahim. So, Surah Yusuf is this incredible story. Before we actually get into reading some ayat, I'm going to give you an overview of the story, which is really, really beautiful. I didn't make this up, I got it from somewhere. So don't give me the credit for it. The story, its big idea is we should trust Allah. We should trust Allah, we should stay patient and not lose hope, even when there is nothing, like nothing is going right. Everything is going wrong. Even in that situation, we should trust Allah that Allah has a plan for us. Yusuf alayhi salam, as you know the story, nothing went right for him until the very end of the surah. Most of the surah, things are, you know, going against the grain for him. Likewise, his father Yaqub. But throughout, what we see is both of them demonstrating the utmost trust in Allah. They're both patient and they're not losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the most dire situations. Even in the most difficult situations. Now, look at the story. It says, it begins with the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam. Then it proceeds to the plot of the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. I'm going to actually change this to a number. Yeah, there we go. Oh no, okay, no problem. Notice this. Yusuf alayhi salam's dream is number one. Number two is the plot of the brothers against Yusuf alayhi salam. Number three is the minister's wife in Egypt, the one in whose house he was staying, her plan to seduce him. Number four, a similar attempt is made by the Egyptian ladies to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam. He's a young man now, similar attempt is made. Number five, Yusuf alayhi salam goes to prison. It doesn't work out. The ladies are overcome by their desire. Yusuf alayhi salam doesn't give in to the desires. And the minister of Egypt puts him in jail. Then while he's in jail, he gets famous because he interprets someone's dream. in jail. Two of the people in jail, he interprets their dream, and their dreams come true. One of them gets executed, the other one becomes an employee of the king. The king has a dream, and the king's dream doesn't make any sense to him. We'll get to the details shortly, but I'm just going to give you an overview before we get into it. The king's dream, the king sees a dream, he doesn't have any idea what it means, nobody around him has any idea what it means. The guy who was in prison before, he remembers, I know somebody who can tell you what it means. He's in prison. His name is Yusuf. He goes to Yusuf alayhi salam, and the dream gets interpreted. Well, he tells him, this is what the dream means. There's a drought coming. There's a drought coming. For 7 years, you will have good times. And then after that, you will have a drought for 7 years after that. And then the 15th year will be a time when the drought will be over, and everyone's going to have a good time, and you have lots of food again. So this king was really pleased by this interpretation, and Yusuf alayhi salam gets released from the prison. But before he gets released from the prison, or as he's getting released from the prison, the ladies all confess that yes, we tricked him, we went after him, he didn't come after us. And then also the wife of the minister, she confesses and says, yes, I'm the one who was behind this, it's totally my fault, Yusuf alayhi salam never did anything, he is totally guilty. He's totally innocent, not guilty in any way, shape or form. Then Yusuf alayhi salam becomes the minister, he is dealing with things, he's managing this drought, people are coming to Egypt because they're like, you know, there's a really amazing king there and there's a really amazing minister in Egypt who is handling this drought really well. They have food stored, and you know, he's really intelligent and he's really good. Let's go and get food from him. And come one of the people who comes to one of the caravans that come to get food from Yusuf alayhi salam is the caravan of his brothers looking for food. And they come a number of times, and they come the first time, Yusuf alayhi salam says nothing to them, gives them their food, he's like, bring me back your brother. You have a brother from another mother. Yaqub alayhi salam had two wives. From the first one he had 10 sons, from the second one he had 2. The second one was Yusuf. The children from the second wife were Yusuf and his younger brother, whose name was Binyamin, Benjamin in the Bible. So he says, bring me Benjamin. He doesn't say that in the Quran, but he's asking for his brother, that's Binyamin, bring him to me if you want food again. The brothers bring, next time come with Binyamin. And this time Yusuf alayhi salam tells him, hey, I'm Yusuf, remember me? And he tricks the caravan. He plots, and he keeps Binyamin with him. And now the brothers have to go back empty-handed, and they have to show their face to their father again. They've already deceived their father once. So they're really embarrassed. They're really afraid. They're very, they're in a very difficult situation. They go back anyway. Then the drought is taking its toll on people. Everybody's running out of food. It's a long drought for 7 years. The drought for 7 years is a very long drought. That means like this, Walmart is empty. There's nothing on the shelves. So it's taking a toll on people. So they come back again, seeking, فَتَصَدَّقَ عَلَيْنَا, give us some charity. We really are desperate. We've got nothing to give you. We've got no trades to make here. Just give us some money. Just give us some food. We're desperate. At that point, Yusuf alayhi salam tells them who he is. And at that point, the brothers learned their lesson. They said, قَالُوا لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. Allah has chosen you above us, and most definitely we were wrong. It was 100% our fault, what we did to you. And then Yusuf alayhi salam tells them, bring me back my father, bring me back, bring your entire family, my mother, my father, bring them all here, and you all live here with me. And then when they come, he sees them all prostrating to him. And this prostration, by the way, there's two things to say about it. Number one, it was something that was okay in the past for other prophets, but it's not okay for in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not allowed. You cannot make sajda to anybody, only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, it also is a type of sajda that is done to show by bowing your head to show gratitude or to show honor to somebody else. And that is something, even in that is not allowed in our Sharia to bow our head down to anybody. The Hindus have this tradition that they bow themselves and they touch the feet of the elder. This still happens in India. Something that we don't do as Muslims. Not allowed to do. So he sees them, by the way, making sajda. And he says, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِي هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. This is the interpretation of my dream. Now what's really amazing, this is a story, just like a very quick run of the story. What's incredible about the story is you notice you have Yusuf al-Islam's dream number 1 and his interpretation is number 12. Then you have the plot of the brothers as number 2 and the brothers' plot, but the brothers learning the lesson is number 11. The minister's wife, she attempts to seduce, number 3. The confession of the wife of the minister, number 10. The attempt made by the Egyptian ladies, their confession, number 9. Imprisonment of Yusuf alayhi salam, number 5. Yusuf alayhi salam's release from prison, number 8. The king's dream, number 6. The king's dream interpreted, number 7. You see, there's like a symmetry in the surah. If you draw a line here between 6 and 7, there's a symmetry, it's like a mirror image. Everything that is happening to Yusuf al-Islam, everything is unraveling for Yusuf al-Islam in the beginning. Everything is going wrong. And then eventually everything goes right for him. This is the big idea of the story. That things go, you know, there will be times in life where it just seems like everything is going wrong. But eventually things turn around. And before you know it, everything is okay. This is what the symmetry of Surah Yusuf is showing. And how rapidly did they turn around? How rapidly? SubhanAllah. So it's a really powerful surah in that regard. Let's take a quick look at some of the things that we can learn from it. I mentioned first the Yusuf al-Islam's dream. He mentions, I saw a dream to his father. Inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba. That's the first time he mentions the dream. His father is aware. He's like, look, son, don't tell this dream to your brothers. They won't like it. There is always, even between siblings, there's always some rivalry, some friction. He was aware of that. What's really interesting to note here is how Yusuf al-Islam is talking to his father. He says, Ya Abati, which doesn't mean father. Translation says, oh my father. That's not what it means. The meaning of Ya Abati is, Father, I love you so much. It's a phrase. Ya Abi is my father. Ya Abati means, Father, I really love you. And the statement Ya Bunai doesn't mean, oh my son. Ya Bini would be my son. But Ya Bunai is a statement. Son, I love you so much. This is something we find consistently in Quran. That the fathers and sons that are speaking in Quran, particularly when they're believing fathers and believing sons, Ibrahim and Ismail, Yaqub and Yusuf, Luqman and his son, there is so much love that is apparent in the way they speak to each other. It's genuine love. It was genuine love. So there was a man who came to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ was kissing Hassan in the streets of Medina, or Hussein. And he's like, you kiss your kids? I have 10 kids, I've never kissed even one of them. He thinks this is being a man. And kissing and being showing love and being soft is like somehow reducing your manlihood. And the Prophet ﷺ said, what can I do if Allah has removed mercy from your heart? It's not my problem, it's your problem. SubhanAllah. The idea is, these are the men in the Quran. They're real men. They're greater men than all of us. Yet they weren't afraid to show their love to their kids and express it clearly. Somehow we feel as men, sometimes in some cultures, a lot of the Muslim cultures by the way, that a man should be rough and tough and should not show any sign of softness towards the kids, otherwise the kids will take advantage. But that's in the Quran. Now again, I'm not telling you how to raise your kids or whatever. I'm just saying in the Quran we find this is not to be the case. The believing father and son conversations in Quran have a lot of love in them. Genuine love, not just lip service. And also we notice that the father and son are talking, which is rare. There, you know, the son feels comfortable enough to communicate to the father. The story of Ibrahim and Ismail, we'll see in Surah Safat, Ibrahim feels confident enough, alayhi salam, to ask Ismail what he thinks. What is your opinion? I want you to think about it and tell me what you think. It's two-way. The lines of communication are open. Right? It doesn't just happen out of nowhere. It's built on love. But the relationship is so, they're so close that they can feel confident enough to talk to their parents. This is something also we find in the Quran between believing father-son relationships. So he says this, and he Allah Subhanahu says after that the Yusuf. Now he skips the story. He comes to the point where the brothers of Yusuf said, "I saw a dream." Then in ayah number 8, the story says, "If qalu la Yusufu akhuhu ahabbu ila abina minna." The brothers were already upset and they were already jealous. Without even knowing the dream, they're like, Yusuf and his brother are more beloved to our father than we are. They didn't like that. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَى, and we are, you know, we're 10. We're strong young men. We do things for him. إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Our father is just, clearly he's got it wrong. Doesn't mean that they're saying our father is misguided from the Akhirah perspective. They know he was a prophet. But they're like, his love is misguided. We do things for him, he doesn't love us as much as he loves these two young kids. So, this jealousy is eating away at them, and they're like, let's kill Yusuf. But one of them says, no, let's not kill Yusuf. Let's throw him in a well. Just put him in a well somewhere, and somebody is going to take him. So he'll be alive, but he'll be far away from us. Because back in the day, you can't just buy a case of 24 bottles and go on a journey. You had to stop at strategically at the places where there were wells and get your water from there and get nourishment from there. So, subhanAllah, he's like, put him in a well. The caravan, the people that are passing by, they're traveling. When they get water, they'll pull him out, they'll take him with him, and he'll be far away from you. So, this idea of وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ is an interesting idea. They're saying, kill him now, and then we'll be good people afterwards. Right? It's okay, let's just, you know, enjoy our times when we're in high school and university, and after that, inshallah, we'll make hajj and everything will be fine. Right? It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And this Allah quoting this idea is to reprimand, to show the felicity in this statement. Now, they basically come to Yaqub alayhi salam and they say, you know what, we want to take him and we want to go, you know, play. Send him with us. And Yaqub alayhi salam is like, initially he says, I fear something's going to happen to him. But eventually they manage to trick him and they take Yusuf alayhi salam with them. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ Ayah number 15 tells us, when they took him, وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ And then they agreed. أَجْمَعُوا, the same word is used in ijma'ah. When all the scholars agree on something, it's called ijma'ah. Right? أَجْمَعُوا, they had consensus. Everyone agreed. أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ That they wanted to put him in the bottom of the well. Now Yusuf al-Islam is a young boy. And I mean, it takes a very person with a lot of hatred to hate somebody this young and so small. And not even feel pity. Not even feel any sense of pity. And just, you know, he's so small. Just, you know, what's wrong with you? But all of them were so overtaken by their jealousy that they didn't feel any pity even for this young boy. Not just any young boy, their own brother, their own blood. And this is the idea that jealousy, this is what jealousy does. It blinds a person. Jealousy and envy, hasad, blinds a person. You stop seeing what's good about the other person because of that. It's like a poison. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, the one hasad, the one who's consumed by hasad, his deeds will be like ashes. Like it's a fire that consumes and eats away good deeds, like fire eats away at khashab, at wood, and turns wood into ashes. Just like that, hasad and jealousy and envy turn a person's good deeds to ashes. You stop seeing all the good in a person because of something that you don't like about them. And the idea of hasad, by the way, is that you want what the other person has, and you want them to not have it. They wanted the same love and affection that they had, that Yaqub had for his son Yusuf. They wanted it for themselves, and they didn't want that for Yusuf. So this is the idea behind hasad. It's a devastating force. That's why we make the dua, وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. We say that again and again. The Prophet told us, say this, the قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Read it after every salah, read it 3 times after Fajr, read it 3 times after Asr, to protect their protection. We need to protect ourselves through these du'as, because this is a devastating force. It could turn brother against brother. Now after this, they come back. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. They were, you know, they might as well be auditioning for Hollywood, because they came crying to their fathers, right? عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. Allah actually puts the verb in present tense to show, like try to bring this scene back to life. يَبْكُونَ. You can see them all; they're all crying, grown men crying. And just before that, they put this young man, this little boy, in a well. Such two-faced personality. And they say, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا. Allah SWT goes back to past tense. He says, يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقْ وَتَرَقْنَا يُوسُفْ عِنَّ مَتَائِنَا فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئِبُ. We left him next to, we were running and we were racing, and we left him next to our food and our stuff. فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئِبُ. And a wolf came and ate him. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. And we know you will not believe us, even if we were telling the truth. There's too many things, there's a lot of psychological benefit, that, you know, a lot of psychology here. We don't have time to get into all of it. But what's really interesting, one statement. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَا كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. You will not believe us even if we're truthful. Someone who says that, right? That person generally has a weak argument. It doesn't matter what I say, you still won't believe me. That's because your argument is weak. If you have a strong argument, people will believe you. If you can put together a very good argument, forceful argument, people will believe you, right? Or if not believe you, at least they will be moved to be like, okay, you know what, I don't agree, but you have a good argument, you make a good case. The one who says, it doesn't matter what I say, you never will believe me, it's because you don't say anything right. Right? So they're trying to, you know, preempt it. They know they're weak, so they're trying to preempt this thing by saying this. And now, very interesting, they bring the shirt that has وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. They bring the shirt that has blood, and that gives away their plot. That shirt basically betrays them, because the shirt was a normal shirt. It didn't have any tatters in it. It wasn't torn. And Yusuf alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam notices that. He doesn't comment on it. He says, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. He says, the reality is, your desires have incited you to do something, and has made it look good to you. And he says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I'm going to be patient. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. My patience is going to be beautiful. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. And Allah is the one we seek help from against what you describe. He's implying, I know you're lying. The shirt gives away that you're lying. Because Allah mentions the shirt here, right? How can a wolf eat somebody and the shirt is, you know, unblemished? How is that possible? Did the wolf take off the shirt first and then eat the person? It doesn't happen. So that gave away their lie. And subhanAllah, this, he says, at this point, Yaqub alayhi salam shows a lot of wisdom. He says, there's no point in arguing with them. Even if I prove them wrong, nothing is going to come out of it. He's already gone. Yusuf is already gone. So for now, I'm just going to be patient. Sometimes when we're arguing, this happens. We get to a point where it doesn't matter if you're right. It may not. It happens between spouses a lot. Like sometimes it's not who's right and who's wrong. You can prove you're right, but you proving you're right actually doesn't change anything. At a certain point in an argument, it's best to just walk away and let things calm down. There's hadith of the Prophet as well. The one who walks away from an argument, even if he's right, I guarantee him a house in the middle of Jannah. For a reason, because arguments sometimes bear no fruit. Here he knows he can argue with them, he can prove to them that they're lying conclusively, that using the evidence that they actually brought. But he knows it's too late, they won't agree, they will never confess to this. So he just, at a point, he says, you know what? It's gone, it's done already. I'm going to be patient. It's deep wisdom from Yaqub alayhi salam. Moving the story along, a caravan comes and they take him and they sell him to the Aziz of Misr, one of the ministers of Misr. And when this guy is purchasing him, he noticed that this boy is, you know, there's something about him. You see people and you're like, there's something about this person. So he tells his wife, أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ, that make sure where he's living is very comfortable. Mathwa, not akrimi sukunahu, mathwahu. Mathwa is a place where a person lives for a very long time. It's like the house that your grandfather lived in. And then the house where you're probably expecting your grandkids to live in. That is mathwa. That's the word that's used here. So he's telling his wife, you know, make sure he's very comfortable. Now, عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا, perhaps we'll take him, adopt him as a son, or perhaps he'll benefit us, or maybe we'll take him as a son, we'll adopt him as a son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an idea here that look, things are going bad, but the big idea of the surah is, you know, trust Allah, don't lose hope, even when things are going bad. Yusuf alayhi salam, he's lost his father, he doesn't have any idea what the future holds, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still takes care of him by giving him a good master. Another person could have purchased him and driven him into slavery and tortured him, but a good person bought him. And not just a good person, he made sure that Yusuf al-Islam is comfortable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for us even in our times of despair. Now, afterwards he became, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا, when he reached puberty, when he became a man, آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا, we gave him judgment, the ability to convey his, when he speaks, he conveys his message. He speaks really well. That's hukum. Wa'ilman. And we gave him knowledge. He was very knowledgeable. He knew the reality of things. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and this is how we reward the doers of good. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention that he was also very beautiful. He was extremely handsome. But we find this in the hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ says that half of Jamal was given to Yusuf. And in one narration is half of it was given to Yusuf and his mother. So he was extremely, imagine all of what's called considered beautiful, and you put it in like one block or something, and you divide it into half, and half of it you give to Yusuf a.s. He was just probably like mind-blowingly beautiful. Yusuf alayhi salam. We can't even imagine. So when he grows up, and that's when his, you know, he hits puberty, he becomes a man, and that beauty really comes out and starts shining. So the woman who was married to the Aziz, the lady who was supposed to take care of him, she becomes obviously attracted to him. And he's one who speaks really beautifully, he's got a lot of wisdom, he's got knowledge, right? He's not like any other child. So this woman becomes really attracted to him. So Allah says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ, really beautiful. The one in whose house he was in sought to seduce him. He was in her house. He had no place to go. He was in her house, meaning he was trusting her to not do this to him. He was trusting her to not do this to him. and yet she betrayed the trust. And وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, and when she wanted to do something, she did something really, she really planned this. She غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, she locked and bolted all the doors. غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, every door is bolted, it's probably a castle, so multiple levels of doors are bolted. وَقَالَتْ حَيْتَ لَكْ, and then she said to him, come, do this thing with me, this filthy action, do this with me. Now this, if Yusuf al-Islam does it now, he's like, you know, he in his head, he's probably thinking, no one is watching me, or no one is going to be able to come here. This lady, she's calling me. Right? He has all the reason to do it. If you think about it, he has every reason to do it. Because it's totally safe. She is the one who's coming after him. Yet he says, Ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge of Allah. And Ma'ad actually is a place, right? It's in Arabic, ism dharf. It's like a place. He says, I'm in this place right now. I'm seeking a place of refuge. I'm seeking a shelter. I'm going to run to a shelter to get away from you. Innahu Rabbi ahsana mathwai. Absolutely no doubt, he is my master. He has ahsana mathwai. He has made my residence good. He's given me such a good home. And he says, Rabbi, it's really beautiful choice of words. He probably means both. Allah, he's my master, he's made my residence good. I cannot commit this sin against Allah. And also, your husband is my master, he's the one who owns me. And he's done lots of good to me. He's been really good to me ever since I've been here. And he's given me good residence. I cannot betray him by having this with you. I can't betray the trust that I have with him by doing this with you. Really beautiful. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Now, they're actually, she starts running after him. He runs towards the door, she starts running after him. And to the point, this lady has gone so crazy, she starts pulling at his shirt, trying to rip his shirt. In fact, she did rip his shirt from the back. It's, you know, just, she's overtaken by her desire. And this is something that's interesting. People who are overtaken by desire for particularly sexual desire, this is what happens. It drives a person sometimes insane. Like a person does things that you cannot explain with a rational mind. Here's a girl running after here's a married woman, right, established in society, running after a man while her husband is the minister of Egypt. Right? And she's so crazy, she's ripping his shirt, she's ripping his clothes away. This is what are the dangers of this kind of action. So subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلْفَ يَا سَيِّدَ هَذَا الْأَلْبَابِ, but they found her husband at the door. How he got through the door, Allah knows best. Because she had bolted them all. But this is the idea in this surah, that we cannot lose, we have to trust Allah and not lose hope. Yusuf alayhi salam did not lose hope in being rescued. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somehow, some way got his master to come and enter the doors. You know, opening the doors, unlocking all the doors, and you know, he got there. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, that when people are in difficult times and they trust Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes ways out for them. What's one thing to notice, so there was this conversation, now the wife of Aziz is like, oh no, he was trying to do this to me, I wasn't coming after him. And he says like, no, hiya rawadatni an nafsi, she was the one coming after me, I didn't do anything. So there is this back and forth going on, and one person that was related to the girl said, you know, if his shirt is torn from the back, that means she was running after him. But if it is torn from the front, that means she was doing it to protect herself. And when they saw the shirt was ripped from the back, they realized it was her who was trying to trick him. Now, what's really interesting is, there's 2 points. Number one, the scholars use this incident to say that you can use circumstantial evidence when it comes to courts and a court case is not just testimony of witnesses. You can use circumstantial evidence, and this ayah is proof of it. Here, they used circumstantial evidence to prove the innocence of Yusuf alayhi salam. Both of them were giving their own testimony, Yusuf alayhi salam and this girl, this lady. But despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that circumstantial evidence was used to win the case in the favor of Yusuf alayhi salam. The second point, which is really interesting, is more pertinent to the rest of us, which is that this lady was throwing herself at Yusuf alayhi salam. It's one thing for a man to run after a girl, and the girl's like, you know, get away from my face, I don't want to see you, inshallah. It's totally another thing for the girl to run after the boy. And this is psychology. When a girl says something to a boy, something nice, by like just the way we are as men, our heart like melts. Seriously. So it is, the temptation is off the charts. It's off the charts. You know what's funny, in schools they talk about this, that boys don't care about what other boys think of them. When they raise, you know, their hand in class and they're giving their input, or they say something in class, they don't care what the other boys in class think. They care what the girls think. As long as, you know, they can impress a girl, or the girl doesn't think badly of them when they're speaking in class, it's all good. And there's like studies done on this. It's so incredible. So here is this girl, she's this lady, and by the way, she's not going to be just any lady. She's the wife of the minister of Egypt. She's going to be, you know, like a model. And, you know, she's got all the clothes and everything that she wants. And so this is an extremely beautiful woman throwing herself at Yusuf alayhi salam. I mean, it's unprecedented. And he has the taqwa, he has the chastity to say no. Like, he is the role model for all of us who live here in the West. And we're surrounded by temptation. And nobody's throwing any themselves at you, okay? Brothers, calm down. So, he is the role model. Because he was in a situation, the temptation was the worst case scenario of temptation. And yet he showed us how to handle himself. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. He is my master. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said that one of the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade on the Day of Judgment is a man who a beautiful woman of some stature in society will approach, like a model. Just a person, a model is somebody who's beautiful, and a model has some stature in society. People look up to her, people admire her, right? That person who a model approaches for, you know, an illegal action, illegal sexual action, for adultery, and this person has a taqwa to say, I fear Allah, I fear hellfire, I'm not going to do this. Not that he approached the model, she approached him. This action is so incredible, the Prophet said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make this person one of those special people that he shades on the Day of Judgment. Because it is one of the hardest things to do. One of the hardest things to do in life. So, Yusuf alayhi salam does this, but he's still not out of the woods. He's still in trouble, because now this lady, she's not done yet. This time, and you know, gossip happens. وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. You know, the other ladies in town are talking. Did you hear about the wife of the minister? She's running after this boy who grew up in her house. What is wrong with her? Right? Ladies gossiping at each other. It's going crazy. So what she does, she invites them all to her house. And she's like, why don't you all come? وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَى. Have a seat, and there's food. وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سِكِّينَةٍ. Here's fruit, and here's a knife. Then, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ وَقَالَتْ يَخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ. Then she said to him, come out, to Yusuf alayhi salam. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ. When they saw him, أَكْبَرْنَهُ. They, now what does the translation say? They greatly admired him. That's an okay translation. أَكْبَرْنَهُ. They were blown away. They were blown away. They're like, what is this? Like being speechless. They were left just absolutely speechless. وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنْ And they cut their hands. Now there's two ways of looking at this. There's many actually explanations of what this means. But one is that they were so busy that they were cutting fruit and whatnot. But they were so mesmerized by Yusuf alayhi salam that they forgot that this is an apple and this is my wrist. And they kept on cutting their wrist. They were just absolutely blown away. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, I actually prefer this one because it's a little bit more, it fits the narrative a little better, is that one of the ladies cut her hand. So Yusuf alayhi salam started to tend to her, you know, covering the wound and making sure that it doesn't, you know, the blood stops. So when the other ladies see that, they start cutting their hands. And they're like, come, I'm bleeding too. Come put the bandage on me. I'm bleeding as well, put a bandage on me. فَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنْ SubhanAllah. It's just unbelievable. And now imagine him, he's a young man too. It's not like he's some old dude. He's young. And he has all these women who are all, you know, the elite of society. It's like a collection of models that are sitting there. And they're all literally throwing themselves at him. And now the wife of Aziz, and they, by the way, these ladies say, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا This is not a human being. A man can't be this good looking. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ He is an angel. He's out of this world. He's not even from this world. They're just completely mesmerized. Now, subhanAllah, this lady is like, no, this is the one that I was seducing. This is the one that you were saying things about me. That this is the one that you were gossiping about. And then he says, وَإِلَّا وَلَئِلَّ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا آمُرُهُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّ وَلَيَكُونَمْ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ And if he is not going to do what I'm telling him to do, لَيُسْجَنَنَّ 100% I'm going to put him in jail. Or he will be put in jail. وَلَيَكُونَمْ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ And 100% he will be disgraced and humiliated. I'm going to make sure that he is humiliated. Now Yusuf alayhi salam has two choices. Do this, commit adultery with this extremely attractive woman, and he's, you know, saved. Or go to prison for a crime that he never committed. And he says, Rabbi, as-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. I'd rather go to a prison. I'd rather lose my freedom than disobey you, Allah. I'd rather lose my freedom. A person's freedom is the most prized possession they have, right? The most prized possession a person has is their freedom, their ability to think freely, make their own choices. He says, I will let go of my freedom. But that's better for me than for me to disobey you, Ya Allah. And add to this, that he's not just seeking out the sin. People are seeking him out. These attractive ladies are seeking him out. SubhanAllah, it's unbelievable how much, what level of sacrifice this was. But he was eventually put in prison. Then, as we were talking about the story, right, the minister's wife was attempted to seduce him. Then he's still in prison. The king's dream, he interprets the dream of the people in prison. And then the king sees the dream. He, by the way, says to the one, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجِ مِنْهُمَ اذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ He said to the one who he knew was going to be free. Remember, there was two people. One of them was going to get executed. One of them was going to become free. And in fact, become an employee of the king. So he said to that one, اُذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ Remember to remind your king about me. That, hey, I can tell the interpretation of dreams. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ But this man forgot. Shaitan made him forget. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ So after this, he still remained in prison for a number of years. So Yusuf al-Islam actually caught a break in prison. That a guy who would be saved in prison would know of some skill that Yusuf al-Islam had that's really valuable. But this guy, miskeen, forgot. And so Yusuf al-Islam, even after catching a break, he still remained in prison for a number of years. This happens in life a lot, that we feel like, you know, things are about to turn around, and then all of a sudden it starts unraveling again. But the whole idea, the big idea of the surah is we have to remain patient and not lose hope. We have to remain patient and not lose hope. So Yusuf al-Islam remains patient and he continues until the king sees a dream. This is number 6, right? Until this point, this is the midpoint. This is where the symmetry ends and the other symmetry begins. The king's dream is إِنِّي أَرَافِ الْأَسَبَعَ بَقَرَاتٍ سِمَانِي يَأْكُلُهُنَّ سَبْعٌ عِجَافٍ وَسَبْعَ سُنْبُلَاتٍ خُضْرٍ وَأُخَرَ يَابِسَاتٍ. He says, I have seen 7 fat cows that were being eaten by 7 lean cows. 7 skinny cows are eating 7 fat cows. And I see 7 وَسَبْعِ سُنْبُلَاتٍ خُضْرٍ وَأُخَرَ يَابِسَاتٍ. I see 7 green grains of wheat, وَأُخَرَ يَابِسَاتٍ, and 7 green, 7 dried ones. 7 cows that are skinny eating up 7 fat cows. So what does this mean? يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ أَفْتُونِي فِي رُؤْيَايَ إِن كُنْتُمْ لِلرُؤْيَا تَعْبُرُونَ. What does this dream mean? And they're like, قَالُوا أَضْغَاثُ أَحْلَامٍ. This doesn't make these just, you know, it's just random things that you're dreaming of. It doesn't make any sense. Now this guy who was there, he's like, you know what, I know somebody who can tell you what this dream means. Yusufu ayyuha as-siddiq aftina fi sab'i baqarat. He goes and tells Yusuf al-Islam of the dream. And Yusuf al-Islam tells him what this dream means. He says, tazra'una sab'a sinin da'aba. You will have lots of crops that you will yield for 7 years. Then, after ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ سَبْعٌ شِدَاد. Then you will have 7 years of extreme drought. Shidad. 7 years of drought is like unbelievable. Like it's crippling to even think about it. There was, I think, a drought recently, a few years ago. Not a drought as the way we classically was a drought, but there was no water in some parts of Australia for like a week or something. And it was mayhem. Like for 7 years, imagine. So, سَبْعٌ شِدَادٍ يَكُلَّ مَا قَدَّمْتُمْ لَهُنَّ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تُحْسِنُونَ. And all that you have saved up for them will be consumed by those 7 years. And then he said, ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَامٌ فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسِ. And after this, there will come a year where there will be rain. وَفِيهِ يَعْصِرُونَ. And once the rain comes, the crops will grow and things will be back to normal. So, the king was extremely impressed by this and he's like, I want you to, you know, work with me. I want you to be with me. But before that happened, Yusuf al-Islam was released from prison. Confession of the ladies happened. The ladies confessed that, yes, you know, مَا خَطْبُكُنَّ إِذْ رَاوَدْتُنَّ يُوسُفَ عَنْ نَفْسِي. What's your problem? What is your statement here? قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. They all said, you know, Allah is perfect. مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوء. We don't know anything evil that he's done. He's totally innocent. And then the confession of the wife of Yusuf, the wife of the minister comes. And she says, قَالَتِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ الْآنَ حَصْحَصَ الْحَقِّ. Now the truth has become clear and evident. أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِي. I was the one who was guilty. I was the one who seduced him. وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. And no doubt he is the one who is from the truthful. And then she's actually regretful. This lady, one of the things in Surah Yusuf we will notice is that none of these people are pure evil. It's not like Fir'aun. There was like nothing good about Fir'aun. These people, they did bad things, but they also had a good heart. Yusuf's brothers did something terrible, but later on they apologized and they felt really bad about it. And then they moved on with their lives. Likewise, these ladies, and particularly the wife of the Aziz, she did something terrible. She caused Yusuf al-Islam to lose the prime of his youth in a prison, rotting away for no reason. But still, she felt bad about it. So when she confesses, she said, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمْ. That is so that he will know, أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. That I have not betrayed him. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. And that Allah does not guide the plan of the ones who betray. Like, this is something that I don't do. So she's showing regret. And then she even says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I'm not here to say I am totally I'm totally blameless. I am to blame as well. Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu illa ma rahima rabbi. And every soul, or rather the soul, the idea of our greed and our desires, it is inclined ammaratun bisu towards what's evil. Illa ma rahima rabbi, except what Allah has, what my master shows mercy to. Inna rabbi la ghafurur rahim. So notice in her confession, she's saying, it's my fault, and I really feel sorry about it. And I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to betray him. I'm not totally blameless. So she's not, you know, totally bad. This is one of the things we see in Surah Yusuf. We have people, and this is how most people are. Most people are not like Fir'aun. There's some Fir'auns in the world still to this day. But not everyone is like that. Joe in Walmart is not like Fir'aun, right? The people who are in the streets are not like that. Most of the people are like this. They have some bad and they have good as well. And this is what Surah Yusuf provides us, that this is what people are like as well. So the king, so this is the confession of the ladies, confession of the wife. Finally, now we'll actually skip to the part where وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفُ. He becomes the one who is taking care of the agriculture of this of Egypt, and then finally, the brothers of Yusuf come knocking his door. فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. He recognized them right away. فَعَرَفَهُمْ. Right away, he knew who they were. وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. And they didn't know who he was. Now, he says first, bring me your إِتُونِي بِأَخٍ لَكُم مِّنْ أَبِيكُمْ. Bring me your brother, your half-brother. That was Binyamin, Benjamin. And he says, if you don't bring him, that you're not getting anything. Because he was in charge of entire agriculture in Egypt. If you don't bring him next time, it doesn't matter what you bring to trade, I'm not trading with you. He can call the shots. He's the one who's taking care of agriculture. So now, they go and they convince the father to send the brother with him. But before the father sends the brother, Yaqub alayhi salam, he's like, لَنْ أُرْسِلَهُ مَعَكُمْ حَتَّى تُؤْتُونِي مَوْثِقًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَتَأْتُنَّنِي بِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُحَاطَ بِكُمْ. That I'm never going to send him with you until you give me a promise by Allah that you will bring him back. And إِلَّا أَن يُحَاطَ بِكُمْ, unless it's, you know, you're surrounded by enemies or you're in an impossible situation. Now, when they finally came back with Binyamin, أَوَى إِلَيْهِ أَخَاهُ, he brought his brother close to him. And he says, إِنِّي أَنَا أَخُوكُ فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. I'm your brother that you lost. So don't despair over what they're gonna do. I'm gonna do something here. Don't worry about it. Just be ready. Don't worry, something's gonna happen. Then he does something. What does he do? جَعَلَ السِّقَايَةَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِي. He takes a valuable, what's it called? A valuable bowl, and he puts it in the bag of his brother. You know how you take a bowl and you measure with it, back in the day at least, and then they would put, you know, the supplies like that. So the bowl was, you know, made of gold. It's narrated. It's, you know, it was, it had some value. Some say it was actually, in fact, in the ayah itself, it says suwa'ul malik. It was something that the king owned. So he took that and he put it in the bag of his brother. Why would he do that? So that the people would say, oh, this bowl is not, it's missing, who stole it, the one who stole it will keep him as prisoner. And that's exactly what happened. That as they were leaving, they were told, hey, someone stolen the bowl of the king and we need it back. Now the Yusuf al-Islam's brothers are now legitimately saying, Tallahi, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We don't come here to cause corruption, we're not here to cause trouble. Right? وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ. We're not thieves. You know it. We've been doing business with you for a while. So now they're genuinely distressed. But despite that, Yusuf al-Islam is like, no, we have to search all the bags. فَبَدَأَتْ بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ. So he begins with their bags first, to make it seem like it's a genuine investigation. قَبْلَ وِيَاعِ أَخِيهِ. And then he finally gets to his brother's bag. ثُمَّ اسْتَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ وِيَاعِ أَخِيهِ. And then he took it out. Yusuf al-Islam is also playing a game with them. They played a game with him back in the day. They were crying to his father. Now it's his turn. So now he's playing a game with them. And he keeps his brother. Now him keeping his brother is not just because he loved his brother. He's keeping his brother because now he knows that they're going to be back again. And then eventually they will bring back his family. So he's planning his being reunited with his father. Step by step. Very, very clever, mashallah. So, now after this, Yusuf alayhi salam's, they go back and they're very upset, they're very distressed. And they eventually come back. They eventually come back to Yusuf alayhi salam, and he says to him, قَالَ هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ Ayah number 89. And قالوا أإنك لأنت يوسف قال أنا يوسف وهذا أخي. He said to them, do you know what you did with Yusuf and his brother? إذ أنتم جاهلون, when you were ignorant. But the translation here is not correct. جاهلون means you're overtaken by emotion. You're emotional. Remember what you did to Yusuf and his brother when you were, just seized by your emotion of jealousy, of hatred. And then they realized this has to be Yusuf. قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفْ قَالَ أَنَا يُوسُفْ They said, are you Yusuf? He said, yes, I am Yusuf. وَهَذَا أَخِي And this is my brother. So he shows the plan. Now the brothers, they learn the lesson. And finally, he says, Yusuf alayhi salam, to... Before that, قَالُوا لَا قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ These brothers, they made a mistake. And they actually admit their mistake. This is the point of this, one of the underlying themes of this surah. That these people did something bad, but they were not bad people in totality. They say that by Allah, Allah has preferred you over us. وَإِنْ كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ And it was us who were, we were sinners. It was our fault. We're to blame for what we did to you. And he says, Yusuf alayhi salam, showing the big heart that he had. قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ There is nothing, there's no blame upon you today. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ May Allah forgive you. Meaning, I have forgiven you. Any grudges that I had, I have no grudges. And the sin that you've committed, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you for that as well. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ Because He's the most merciful of the people who have any mercy. But now there's some unfinished business that is being reunited with his father. So he says, اِذْهَبُوا بِقَمِيصِ هَذَا The qamis of Yusuf alayhi salam is a symbol in this entire surah. You know, there's symbolism in the Quran. The asa of Musa, the staff of Musa alayhi salam, and the qamis of Yusuf, the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam. That was the same, the shirt was what gave Yaqub alayhi salam the evidence that they were lying. And gave him hope that Yusuf is alive. Right? Because if the shirt wasn't there, he might have assumed that he's dead. He was actually consumed by a wolf. And now the shirt again is sent. And he had lost his eyes, right? He's lost his eyesight, sorry. This shirt again is what makes his eyesight come back. And the shirt is what gives him evidence that his son is alive and he's going to be reunited with him again. Really beautiful symmetry. Again, even in the symbolism of the surah, there is symmetry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in such beautiful terms. So finally they are reunited. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا And also, by the way, one more thing. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا اسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا خَاطِئِينَ The brothers apologize to the father as well. They apologize to Yusuf alayhi salam and they apologize to the father. This is the essence of tawbah, by the way. To apologize for sins to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then apologize to the people that we have hurt. This is the essence of it. So you notice these people did the complete tawbah. They asked Yusuf for forgiveness. They asked the father for forgiveness. And they also asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And the lesson also here, a secondary lesson is, good people do bad things sometimes. Just because they've done a bad thing doesn't make them totally bad themselves. Like the brothers of Yusuf. And in fact, they were made into prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them al-asbat in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah. The 12 heads of the tribes of Bani Israel, they were them. So there is redemption. There is not, making a mistake is not the end of the world. It doesn't make a person totally bad. There is always a chance to repair, always a chance to right what's been done wrong in the past. So finally, they come back and they meet the father, and they're like, the father and the mother and the brothers come back, and they all وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا, they all do sajda to him. And he says, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِي هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ, this is the interpretation of my dream. And finally his dream is interpreted. And I talked about the symmetry, how beautiful that everything unraveled, and eventually everything raveled back quickly and was fixed very rapidly. And this is the theme of this surah, that don't lose hope and don't lose patience despite all that is going wrong. The surah concludes with one of the most beautiful du'as in Quran. Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulk, Master, you have given me authority. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ, and you have taught me knowledge that is very special, the ability to tell the interpretations of dreams. فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, you are the one who created the skies and the earth out of nothingness, without a blueprint. Because creation, even people can create other breeds of animals and species, but that's basing it off something that's already there. People can even clone other animals, other entity, other creation, but that's again also basing it off original creation that's there. فاطر السماوات والأرض is nobody but Allah. He is the one who made everything out of absolute nothingness. أنت ولي في الدنيا, you are my protector in this world. You are the one who is close to me. ولي is someone who's close to you, who's always with you. توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين, let me die as a Muslim and then join me with the righteous. This is a very beautiful dua. What makes it even more beautiful is that a prophet is making this dua. He's saying, Ya Allah, give me death as a believer, meaning let me live my entire life as a believer. Don't let me lose my track. Don't let me get off track. Don't let me lose my way. And وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ, and when I die, just, join me with the righteous. Put me in that group. Just make me one of your righteous servants. He is a prophet. You know, the ranks are Nabiyeen, number one, Siddiqeen, number two, Shuhada, number three, Salihin, number four. He's already at number one. He's a Nabi, isn't he? He's saying, just make me Salihin, just give me the fourth rank. Just make me of that people, I'll be good enough. He's showing such utmost humility. This is a person who has authority in land. He controls agriculture. Agriculture was economy back then. The economy now is more complicated. But back in the day, agriculture was your economy. He controls the economy. It's like somebody who controls the banks today. Imagine. And controls the stock market. Imagine that person being this humble. That was Yusuf alayhi salam back in the day. He had control over the entire economy, yet he has the humility to make this dua. That just Allah, just accept from me and just make me a righteous person. Join me with the righteous. As long as I'm in the company of the righteous, I'm happy. It's such a powerful dua. Now Allah says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ, this is from the news of the unseen. نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ, remember, this is something that Allah says again and again in the Quran. We saw this in Surah Hud. We saw this in Surah Yunus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopping the surah, or stopping the story, and then saying this here at the conclusion of the story, saying this, that this is something that you did not know. مَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ, you weren't there when they were doing all of this. You weren't there when they were gathering together the brothers of Yusuf and they were plotting and planning this. You didn't see this happen. You didn't read it in a history book. It was revelation to show that this is something that is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the style is so miraculous. I just pointed out a few things about the style to you. The symmetry in the way the story, you know, unfolds and then folds back. And then also the symbolism of the shirt. There's so many amazing stylistic benefits here that are, it's just unbelievable. Because it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a miracle. The content is a miracle. The way it's told is a miracle. The content is a miracle because there's no way the Prophet ﷺ would know of this. Contrast this story with the story of Yusuf ﷺ in the Bible and you'll know. There's no way the Prophet would have known this. And number two, the way it's told is incredible as well. And that's why he says, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. How many signs in the skies and the earth is it that they pass by? يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا. They just pass by without even thinking about it. That this is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. And they are just absolutely ignoring it. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْتَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most of them don't even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even when they do, there is some association that they make with others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the surah ends. I'm going to skip to the end of the surah because the theme of it was the trusting Allah and being patient and not losing hope. The really fascinating thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the very end of the surah, حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ. The messengers would be given a message and a job to do, and they would continue doing their job. إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ. Until the messengers would be in a situation of total despair. It's almost as if the messengers have lost hope. Some messengers that were sent. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا. And they are certain that they have been denied. That people are not going to believe in them. Everything seems bleak. At that moment, at the lowest point, جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. At that point comes to them our victory. فَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَاءَ. So we save and we rescue whoever we will. وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And our punishment cannot be turned away from a people who are criminals. What's fascinating about this, the big idea of the surah was that we trust Allah, we remain patient even in the worst of times, even when everything is unraveling, and we don't lose hope. And we trust that Allah has a plan for us. Here he shows that the messengers, when they were giving the message and everybody kept rejecting them. You know, the Prophet ﷺ has a hadith where he says, he's shown a glimpse of the Day of Judgment. And he says there's a man who comes as a messenger and there is, you know, a few people with him. And another man who comes as a messenger and he has three people with him. Another man who comes, he's a messenger, he's got two. A man comes as a messenger, there's one person who believed in him. Only one person accepted Islam. And there's others who would come and nobody accepted them. Not a single human being accepted Islam on their hands. And they spent their entire lives calling people to Islam. So, you know, the messengers are so many. And their circumstances were so varied that there were some who, in the situation like the man, the messenger who had no followers, this could apply to him, that at the point of the most, like the lowest point, nobody's accepting him, and he is certain that he has now been, you know, denied. Kudhibu, that there's no hope. You're a liar, or your da'wah has now ended. At that lowest point comes the help of Allah. It shows us that, you know, the phrase that it's darkest before the break of dawn. This is what this ayah is telling us. It's darkest before the break of dawn. Before the help of Allah comes, sometimes things have to get really bleak and really difficult, but then it eventually comes. This is the point of the story. Yusuf al-Islam's life was very dark and very bleak in the well. His life was very dark and very bleak in the prison. And the prison is dark and bleak, right? It's not like the prisons that we have today is well lighted and whatnot. Back in the day, the prison is a dark hole, right? You just stay there. So it was dark and bleak until the very last point, until when the help of Allah came. This is the point of the story. It's going to be like that. Life is going to be like that. When it goes low and it goes down, before it gets better, it will be really bad. Sometimes. And we have to trust Allah that Allah has a plan for us. And he says at the very end, he started the surah, but there's a qissa being told. He says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرًا. In their stories, there is a confirmation. Also, there is a ibra, a lesson. لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. For the people who can, who have understanding, who have a clear mind. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. This is not a story that's made up. وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْ. It confirms what's there. The Qur'an confirms what's in the Torah and the Injil, but also confirms that there is changes in them. وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And it is an explanation of everything. وَهُدًا. And it is a guidance. وَرَحْمَة. And it is a mercy. لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. For a people who... Not قَوْمٍ مُؤْمِنِينَ. قَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. The verb is used to show these are people who have faith, or these are people who want to have faith. They want to have faith even for the ones who have very little faith and they want to have more. The stories are there for them to increase their faith. For people who already have faith, the stories are there to magnify their faith, to increase it and strengthen it. And the word Ibra is very fascinating. The word Ibra comes, you know, it's used for the river flowing between two shores, right? The point of Ibra is that you can take the story and your life is one shore and the story being told is another store, is another shore. Our life and the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. And the story is basically connecting the two. So we can kind of draw the parallels. You know, I have lost this. I can't get into med school. I can't get into this. This job is not available for me. This, you know, girl said no to me, even though I was promising her lots of dowry and whatnot and promising her good times, that she said no. Right? Things are bleak. People are depressed. But then the story tells us, look how much Yusuf alayhi salam, how much bleak darknesses he had to go through before things became better for him. Allah had a plan for him. Allah has a plan for me too. This is the point of Ibra. It connects two shores. The river that connects two shores. The Ibra is that so we can connect the two parallels. Our life, our situation, with the life and the situation mentioned in the Quran, and then draw out the parallels. And realize it's not so bad. It was worse for them. It's not so bad for us. And that's the end of Surah Yusuf. Surah Ra'd is also an incredible surah. We obviously don't have time to get into Surah Ra'd. Or even Surah Ibrahim today for that matter. But I wanted to just comment on one thing before we conclude in the minute and a half that I have left, inshallah. From Surah Ibrahim. Surah Ibrahim has something really interesting in it. Surah Ibrahim has this one ayah that Allah mentions, that have you not considered, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. The idea, big idea of Surah Ibrahim is what a blessing faith is. Iman is such a great blessing. And he shows that through the story of Musa alayhi salam. He shows that through the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Very briefly, this one little point. Haven't you seen how Allah presents an example of a good word, like a good tree, whose roots are firm, وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, and its branches are high in the sky. Like think of a large tree from the Amazon, or maybe if you go to Algonquin or something, you see large trees there. You know, that's how Allah describes Iman. The branches are moving, but the base is firm. One of the ways, there's many ways of looking at it, but I found this really pertinent, inshallah, we'll share this and we'll end with this, is that Iman and religion and our Islam is like this tree. its base is firm. It doesn't change. The Quran and Sunnah don't change. The realities of Allah doesn't change. Of the unseen doesn't change. The reality of our faith in Allah doesn't change. But فَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, the branches of a tree, they, you know, they can go right and left, they can move here and there. The higher level details of the faith can change. They're actually supposed to change with time. I'll give you one example. You know, a non-threatening example. In the time of Imam Malik, you know, the fasting after Ramadan, the 6 days, what do you say about that? What's the ruling of that? Is it fard to do? Is it good to do? Sunnah? Or is it something that we shouldn't do? Makruh? It's mustahab, it's good to do, right? Imam Malik and Imam Abu Hanifa would say that that is makruh. To fast those 6 days is makruh. And it's really interesting. Imam Malik says, because we don't see anybody in Medina fasting these 6 days, and these people are the grandsons of the Prophet and the Sahaba. So if they're not fasting, there's something, you know, this hadith, even if it's authentic, we don't use it and we don't act upon it. So we say this action is makruh. Today, no Maliki will say this action is makruh. No Hanafi will say this action is makruh. In fact, most people will actually do it. So do you see how the text remains the same? They both quoted the same hadith. But the understanding of it changed over time. The understanding changed from it's not something that you should do, to now understanding is it should be done. This is the idea. This is one of the interpretations of this ayah. Asluha thabit. The text does not change. The basis of the faith never changes. Iman is Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is He who He is and always will be. And realities of faith are always the same. But فَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, the interpretation of the text could alter, could change over time. And there's a hadith about this, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ كُلِّ مِئَةِ سَنَةِ مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهَا دِينَهَا. There's a person, there's people who will come every 100 years who will reinvent the message. Not that they would change the message, that's impossible. أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتْ. But they would, you know, some branches that were, you know, not needed, they will chop off those branches. And other branches will be, you know, there that are more pertinent for that time. One of the ideas in this surah is this, and this is a really beautiful ayah that alludes to this. Inshallah, we'll end with that because my time is up. And tomorrow we'll begin with Surah Al-Hijr. Unfortunately, we don't have too much, because the time is short, we don't get into more than half or three quarters of a juz. But, you know, we're trying our best, and inshallah, trying to get the big ideas. If you want to get the handout, you can join the email list, inshallah, and the handout gives us a bigger summary than what I'm presenting. So you have some contents to fall back on. Jazakumullah khairan. Any questions we'll take, or otherwise we'll call it a day. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. الحمد لله. Where did Ibrahim go? He came and left.